besties. Welcome back to After Bedtime with Big Little Feelings. If you are struggling with screen time, and I know you are because you are a person that is living with a child right now. If you are struggling with sharing, and I know you are because you have kids, this episode is for you. We are literally going to end screen time battles on today's episode, and we're going to give you the hot tips to actually make the concept of sharing click for your kid. Spoiler alert, forced sharing doesn't work. It doesn't work. We're gonna teach you a better way. I can't wait for today's episode. So glad you're here. Let's do this, besties.
If you follow us on Instagram, you know that Moki, my pug, he is my number one baby. He's my firstborn. I love him so much. But if I'm being really, really honest, ever since having kids, he doesn't get the attention that he used to. I do my best, but there's a lot going on. But one thing that makes me feel really good is we recently switched his food to the farmer's dog. And I cannot tell you how happy this little pug is every morning and every night when he's about to eat. Even my husband commented yesterday, he's like, I've never seen Moki prance around so excited. He loves this food. And I've noticed a difference where he does look happier, he has more energy, he just looks like a healthier dog. The farmer's dog makes and delivers fresh, healthy dog food. It's recommended by vets, nutritionally balanced, and it's made from human-grade ingredients in safe, clean kitchens. Honestly, when you pour it, you can tell how real and how clean this food is. In hindsight now, I can really see how like traditional dry and wet dog food options are extremely processed, and they can use so much lower quality ingredients than they claim to, and they're extremely difficult to portion accurately. And if you're using dry food or like store-bought food, no guilt. I did it for a really long time, but I now notice such a difference since I've switched him. Which is why I'm here sharing the farmer's dog with you so you can incorporate it into your family. And one little detail that I love, it makes life easier, is the farmer's dog isn't just higher quality food. They also send you the right pre-portioned size specifically for your dog based on their unique nutritional needs. This makes it really easy to help your dog reach and stay at their ideal weight, which is one of the biggest indicators of a full, healthy life. In fact, dogs at healthy weights can live as much as 16% longer than overweight ones, and that's 2.5 years. A fresh diet has been found to have all sorts of benefits, from healthier coat and skin to better breath and even easier digestion and smaller, better poops. Yes, poops matter. A healthy diet isn't just important for humans. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/feelings. Let the farmer's dog know that we sent you. Use our code or click podcast after you sign up for your first box. Besties, you know that After Bedtime, this is a podcast where we navigate the wild world of parenting after our little ones have gone to sleep. But we can't forget our other little babies, our furry little troublemakers, our dogs. I have a little pug. His name is Moki and we call him Momo, and he really is my number one baby. He was my first child. And at the same time, as much as we love our pets, we know they can get into some trouble sometimes. Let me tell you about a time that my sweet, sweet baby Moki got into a bit of trouble. My one-year-old was just learning how to do solids. He's practicing. I gave him a huge lamb bone. And the baby, being a baby, accidentally dropped it on the floor, and within seconds, I kid you not, I looked over. Before I could grab it, Moki inhaled the lamb bone all 6 inches in a pug down his throat. It was horrifying. We rushed him to an emergency vet, and thankfully, it was a 3-day journey. He is okay, but trust me, the vet bills, they were no joke. Speaking of which, we wanted to share a message from our partner Spot Pet Insurance, because Spot Pet Insurance plans can offer up to 90% cash back on eligible vet bills, which sounds like a game changer and something I wish I had on the Moki Lambone fiasco. Honestly, like, it was bad on top of bad when I got the bill. But now, imagine getting up to 90% cash back on that bill. And the Spot Pet Insurance Plan offers not only coverage for accidents and illness plans, but an optional preventative care benefit as well to help with the cost for routine wellness, vaccines, and more. And if you catch yourself thinking like, is it expensive? Let me tell you, it is probably less expensive than the unexpected $1,800 vet bill that I got served. Go to spotpetinsurance.com today and get a free quote instantly. It's very easy.
Disclaimer, paid ad for Spot Pet Insurance. Waiting periods, annual deductible, coinsurance, benefit limits, and exclusions may apply. For all terms, visit spotpetins.com/sample-policy. Insurance plans are underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC. Now, Kristen.
Yeah, hey.
Kristen, hey.
Hey.
I know that today's episode, I'm exploding with this.
Going right in,
I've been holding this in all day.
Yeah.
I know that today's episode is really questions from the besties that they've submitted.
It is.
I have a burning question that I've been dying to ask you. I've Googled
this.
Yes. Oh, you're going to know. You're going to know. I've Googled it. I cannot figure this out. Who the F is Gypsy Rose?
Gypsy Rose, Dina?
What is this? What did I miss?
Gypsy Rose, Dina?
What is happening?
I have so much to tell you. I have so much to show you. What? I don't even think I should tell you who Gypsy Rose is.
I Googled it. I still don't get it.
What? You have to watch the movie starring Joey King. I think that's her name.
I don't know who that is. Okay. I don't watch movies. Yeah. Go on.
I think one of the problems here is that you don't follow pop culture or like shows in general, you know what I mean? Or celebrities at all, which I find to be such an endearing trait and one of the best things about you. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, thanks.
You don't know who Kristen Bell is. You know what I mean? Like, brush shoulders with her. I would have no idea.
Mm-mm.
So it's hard to know where to start with Gypsy Rose.
Huh.
I can't make that make sense in this one podcast episode.
Wow.
We may have to take a little moment and let the men do bedtime and watch the movie and circle back to the besties and tell them what you think about the movie.
I will do my best to watch a movie with you. I can't really guarantee it. I'm not great at that. Like sitting quietly.
Like a spreadsheet open where you're just like doing 100 different things with your spreadsheet.
I'm going to pause it and be like, you know what? Let's unpack that sentence. Like, can we unpack that together?
Dina, as a therapist, you're going to have a lot. You're going to have a lot to unpack with Gypsy Rose.
Okay, that's exciting.
I can't believe you don't even know what that is. Wow.
Wait a minute.
Kristen?
Yeah? Is that not the right person?
It is.
Did I say the wrong name?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. Gypsy Rose. No, there's a woman.
Okay. Keep
on
going.
On Instagram.
Yes.
I thought her name was Gypsy Rose.
Her name is Gypsy Rose. Keep going.
This is a lady on Instagram.
She's a lady on Instagram.
Who
go
also
ahead.
Has a husband, and it seems controversial, but I can't
she
understand
why. She
does
have a husband. Okay, fine. I'll go into it. This is your 60-second summary, and for the besties who don't know who Gypsy Rose is, which like... I don't know how, but I love you. Gypsy Rose, this is a sad story, okay?
Okay.
Gypsy Rose, her mom had Munchausen to a severe degree, okay? So she would like all these things. So she had a feeding tube put in. She
right, you keep your
pulled
kid
teeth.
Sick, basically.
You keep your kid sick, like for the sympathy, for whatever. And literally, she's like, no food. Feeding tube,
oh my God.
Teeth out, just making her like literally making her sick.
Yeah.
So then Gypsy Rose finds a boyfriend. I forgot how. She like on the internet somehow, she finds a boyfriend. Long story short, the boyfriend and her kill her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Murder her.
Mm-hmm.
This is real life. This is not a movie. This is real
this
life.
This is real life.
This is real life. So now the Gypsy Rose you're referring to has just gotten out of prison.
What?
As an adult.
Oh my God.
And has a boyfriend and definitely talks in interesting ways about that boyfriend. And she's free now. So now the whole buzz is like she's doing interviews. She has an Instagram. Like the day she got out.
What?
She is branding herself.
Okay. This is not what I thought. This is wild.
Okay, that's Gypsy Rose.
I feel at peace.
It's a Lifetime movie, I think. I think you'll love it.
So there's a real person and then there's a movie you're telling me.
Yeah, okay. I like the movie because it feels a little less real. You know what I mean?
And we need a buffer.
Yeah, it's intense.
That does sound intense.
It's a lot.
Okay.
Okay,
well,
so maybe we'll watch
Gypsy Rose.
Maybe we won't.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Hold
I'm sure
hand.
Her memoir must be coming out in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
So we'll read that.
Okay.
If I had to guess.
How do you find time to watch movies and read Kristen?
I thank you for asking, Dina. Thank you for asking.
I am the Q&A today. Go on.
Just so many burning questions. Mm-hmm. I read every single night because I do the thing where you don't look at a screen before bed. Yeah. And so I put my phone down and away and I read even if it's only 10 minutes. So usually it's literally only one chapter. But if you only read one chapter a day, you read a book. You know right. what I mean? But I have to do it every day to Good calm point. My body down.
So you and Tyler don't lay side by side reading. Sending each other DMs that then you have to look at memes silently while the other person literally lays next to you. You don't do that?
We actually do not because we have a rule that we have to have our phones down when we're with each other.
That's good so for your brain.
So we'll watch a movie.
Good for your relationship.
Together. But I do send him memes all day, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I see that. I yeah. see you doing that.
Yeah, it's, I do that to you all day.
Yeah,
you
know me too. I mean?
We're married.
So. Yeah, we are married.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into some real questions.
Real questions.
I have a lot more, but I'll ask them another time.
Okay, great. I can't wait.
Okay, we're big believers that small, easy changes can have big results, and that goes for your skincare routine too. These days, it's so confusing to know what product works for this and that and which work together in what order, so I'm just gonna make it easy for you. The Work System from Dime Beauty. Dime Beauty is clean, it's high-end skincare that's affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean either. And when I say clean, by the way, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient so you can use their products daily with confidence. I do not have time to remember a 10-step routine. The Work System is everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers. Plus, with spring and summer around the corner, I love anything with sunscreen. Their Tinted Glow Wonder Screen with SPF 30 just came out in new shades, and it's amazing. Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. Love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. Dimebeautyco.com. It's about time you've checked out Dime.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Okay, wait, I kind of want to start out mm-hmm. by just talking to the bestie real quick.
Okay.
Because I feel like, bestie, if you're here, you're really worried about your kid. Like, you're worried, you love them, you're here listening to a parenting podcast, you're on the parenting pages. I just want to reassure you, you're doing an amazing job. The fact that you're listening to a podcast about parenting, you're bettering yourself, you're thinking about these things, you're changing generational cycles, this means you're a great parent. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You can feel at ease. You're already doing it. You're doing enough. You're doing great.
Yeah. And getting that extra info, getting the extra help that you need, like, that's incredible. Like, I just want to applaud you. Not everybody takes the next step or does what they need to do to feel good and secure about their parenting. I'm proud of you. I just wanted to say I'm proud of you.
Me that's too. All. I yeah. love that. Thanks proud for being that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Questions.
So first question is from one of our besties, okay. Callie. And hey, Callie. Callie's question. Ending screen time has become absolutely miserable in my house lately. My 3-year-old cries so loudly for so long that I give him a few more minutes and then the crying and demanding starts again. And it's just really getting in the way of my relationship with him.
Ooh, oh, yeah, man. I mean, I heard it right off the bat, right? Which is... I heard the crying, mm-hmm. and then I gave 3 more minutes.
Yes, there it is.
There it is. We've all
done it. It's so understandable.
We've all done it.
Yeah. We have all been there where your kid is crying so loudly, so intensely that you would literally do anything to make it stop, including going, okay, fine, 1 more episode or 5 more minutes, but I mean it. This is the last one. Mm-hmm. We've all been there.
Oh my God. Especially like baby is on the hip. The pasta is burning. You're just like, fine, it's fine.
The here.
Whatever you need. I don't care.
Make it stop.
I think I was there last night. The thing is, especially at the toddler age, but really kids in general, they need to know that you mean what you say. And when I say that, what I mean is when you say, after this episode, we're all done with screen time, you have to mean that after this episode, we're all done with screen time. When we kind of waver, when we're wishy-washy, it's really confusing for our kids. And you're kind of just asking for this cycle to repeat again and again because your toddler's brain is still developing. So they're trying to understand how the world works. When I do this, then this happens. When I cry, I get more screen time.
Exactly. You can almost guarantee in those situations, if they're crying and then you give in, you don't hold a boundary, we're almost showing them, yes, if you want more screen time, cry longer, harder, stronger. We're almost guaranteeing that that's what we're going to get next time. So yeah. What do we do instead? What can we do? We can prep them. This is actually so, so key. When you let them know in advance what's going to happen, and then we stick to it, like we're saying, 5 more minutes, 1 more episode. That sets them up to start to transition. Like they need those little tiny warnings to prepare themselves, and it sets them up for success.
And that prep will not work, quote unquote work, if we're not doing step two, which is holding the boundary and meaning what we say. So we can prep until we're blue in the face. But if we're then sometimes going back and forth and we're giving the screen time, prep's not doing anything. Because you say in this, but we're not meaning it. It's still wishy-washy. It's still confusing. Prep needs to be firm. It needs to be solid. Hey, 5 more minutes. And then we understand, 5 more minutes.
And then what's probably going to happen is your kid's going to start crying and screaming and tantruming. They're on the floor. They are just shouting for more screen time. And what we're going to do is hold that boundary. We are the calm, confident leaders. Hard to do when your kid's screaming at you, but we are the leaders of the home. Kids feel safest. They actually need someone to be in charge and mean what they say. And that does help them feel safe and calm. But what we're going to do is we're going to ride out that tantrum. Mm-hmm. We're going to let them express their feelings and cry and be mad and be sad. Because you know what? It is hard to end something fun, especially when you're little.
They are not being manipulative, meaning, oh, maybe if I cry, then I'll get what I want. No. This is just part of them discovering how the world works. This is their job, actually, to figure this out. So they're not being manipulative. They do not need to be punished. They are not, what I got as a kid a lot, spoiled or entitled or, oh my God, Timmy, you just had 3 episodes. What's wrong with you? No, it's just, it's hard to end screen time. Whether you watched 5 minutes, whether you watched 5 hours, it's fun. You don't want it to end. I don't want to finish watching Love is Blind at night. Like, I'm pissed that I have to go to bed.
Are you watching that? I am.
I haven't even started it yet. Ooh, because I'm afraid I'm going to stay up too late.
Yeah, it's addictive. Oh, I'm going to tantrum for more screen time, you know?
That's why I'm not ready emotionally. Like, I don't want it to end, you know?
Yeah.
So just allow the feelings. Let them come. And the more you A, okay the feelings when it's done, and B, hold that boundary so they know, okay, even if we've been sliding on the boundaries for 1 year, 2 years, 6 months, 2 days, doesn't matter, you can start tomorrow. And the more consistently you hold them while okaying the feelings, the less and less likely you're going to see any kind of a reaction when you turn the TV off.
Totally. And I find myself these days grounding myself in these chaos moments with something like, boundaries help my kid feel safe. Ooh. Or all feelings are okay. Ooh. You know, because you got to breathe your way through it. And then you know what? It feels like 1 hour, but it's really like 10 bad minutes and then it's gone.
That's more where my brain goes. I like a time focused one. You know, yours is very rational, which I appreciate and love. I feel like that's so helpful for most of the besties. And mine is more like, it sounds horrible, but it's like, this will end. You know, like this will end. Mm-hmm. Or like sometimes I might have to like, okay, this will be 10 minutes. And after 10 minutes, you know, at most it's going to be, or whatever it is. I need like a time to remind myself like, okay, just get through this. Just get through this way.
Yes.
Just, and I'll be very honest. Sometimes mine's like, just don't lose it. Just don't lose it. Just don't lose it.
Girl,
10 minutes. 10 minutes. Just don't lose it. Sometimes that's my mantra.
Yeah. Honestly. Depends on the day. I've been there too. Not always rational.
You know what, though? I'm going to also say, I'm going to give a little hack right now. When you don't lose it after you mantra in your head and you're about to, I don't think any of us really stop and give ourselves.
Yes.
You have to stop for a second and really reassure yourself. Like, give yourself a little hit of dopamine, no joke, to reward your brain. That. I don't care what it is. Like, turn on a song, start dancing, reward yourself in some way right away. Because we breeze through it. We're like, okay, no problem.
We're like, next. Okay, right. Gotta make snacks.
But when we mess up, we ruminate on that. We focus on it. Our brain goes into it. So just a hot tip. I've been starting to do this when I don't yell. And in my head, I'm like, don't yell, don't yell, don't yell, yell. And I do it successfully. And then the tantrum wave actually ends. I will literally try to do something that will increase my dopamine. That's like a healthy, quick thing. Again, like a song or I don't know. Just some reward to be like, stop. That was incredible. You did that.
We need more of that.
More of that.
More of that.
Reward yourself.
Yes.
What's the next question, Dina? I love that you're in charge of the questions. Feels really nice.
Yeah, I got it today, girl. Okay, next question is from actually Amanda.
Amanda.
Hey, Amanda. Oh, this actually has to do with you and Tyler.
Oh.
Because you do this. Okay, describe what parenting and shifts can look like. Awesome concept.
Oh,
it's something we've touched on, but let's unpack it because I learned it from you. I've been doing it more and more. I love it.
Yes. Mm. I don't know who we learned it from. I think I just needed it. We started it as soon as I was done breastfeeding, basically, where I, on one day of the weekend, we only get 2 days. Okay, guys, we only get 2 days. This is a full-time job. Parenting is a full-time job. Sometimes it's literally overnight. Okay.
Yeah.
So we have 2 days on the weekend. You will burn out if you don't take a break. Okay. And like,
trust me, I did it. I learned the hard way.
I was about to say cooking during nap time does not count as a break.
Nope. That's what I've learned.
You're gonna burn out. This is a long game. This is a marathon. This is not a sprint. You got to take a break. Okay. And it's going to be better for your kid. So what we do on the weekends, we have 2 days. So one day I get the morning to be off and the other day he gets the morning to be off. Now you can do anything you want with that. Okay. So on my day, I love my routine. I sleep in until 9 now. And then at 9:30, I run out the door and I go to a workout class and then I'm back by 10:45. Now we personally next level this because the person who's been at home taking care of the kids since 5:45 a.m. because that's when they wake up, that person is exhausted. So that person is not going to make it all the way to bedtime, okay, on this exhausting day. When I get home at 10:30, he goes up for like 1 hour. Okay, it might be a bath, it might be a nap, it might be reading, whatever it is. He gets just like a short one. And then on Sunday, we do the opposite, where like he gets the morning, so he'll get until like 10:30, do whatever he wants. I don't care. Go for a hike, go work out, just sleep in until 10:30, whatever works. And then at 10:30, I get like 1 hour to reset myself. And so basically both days, 11:30 on, we're all together all day.
I love that. Okay, we do it a little differently because neither of us knows how to sleep in.
Yes.
I was never allowed to when I was a child. My mom would literally come in and be like, hey, it's 7. Get up and like open the windows and the sun would just go into your eyeballs.
Mine too.
Oh, really?
But I'm a bad girl, right? Yeah. We both coped in different ways. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I love sleep.
Yeah, you were like, F you, I'm going to sleep. I'm putting the pillow over my head. And I was like, you
got it forever.
I have no needs. Let's go.
Okay, so tell me as a non-sleep, because I feel like a lot of people, even not due to trauma, don't necessarily like to sleep in, by the way. It's
and
a very normal
clarify,
thing.
At this point in my life, resolved a lot of things. I love being a morning person. Yeah. I thrive being a morning person. 5:30 a.m., I'm alive. I'm ready to go. Oh. I'm awake. I'm excited for the day. 4:30 p.m., I'm just barely going to make it, okay?
This is true.
Okay, so the way that we've been doing shifts, which by the way, is only like the last few months we've been doing this, but it's amazing. So I will take the boys because my husband's not really a morning person, right? So I'm excited. We go on an adventure. Maybe we go hiking. Maybe we go to gym class. We go to a cafe. We go to 2 cafes.
We're so
the
different.
The boys love cafes.
Keep going. I love this.
So then we come home right before nap time. Also like 10:30.
Yep.
But I've been up since 5:30, but go on.
Okay.
And then I come in and I'm like, here you go. Here are your children. They're excited to see you. Bye. And then I just leave the house.
Yeah.
Sometimes I stick around for nap time, watch some, you know, garbage TV.
Yeah.
Scary TV, because you can't watch that at night. Gives me nightmares. So I watch the scary stuff. I have this really mapped out.
Really mapped out. Go ahead. Please keep going.
I'm a planner.
Nothing scary, right? Just this.
Right. If you want to watch a scary TV show, you got to do it on Saturday during nap time so you have time to process. Okay.
Okay.
So we watch a scary show. And then I leave the house and I go to a cafe and I go to a workout class. I go hiking, running, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes I go and just lay in bed and... have to tell my kids that I left the house because they'll come find me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's worth noting that I feel like mine was maybe different back when they napped, because we only have one napper. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we have like kids awake all day, which is a whole
you just
different
ball out game. Here pulling all dayers.
Oh, I'm Ooh. Not. I'm, that's why we do shift
that's
work.
That's the point of shifts.
Yeah. But we used to do shift work anyways, because again, it's just like sometimes I would see a movie. Yeah. I remember especially postpartum. I was like, Maybe a year, because, oh no, I was pumping. I'd be pumping in the movie theater parking lot, and it's like an 11 a.m. movie. I don't want to be by myself and like not have anybody touch me and just watch a movie in a movie theater for 3 hours. It's amazing.
You know how we were talking about celebrating stuff? Can we just celebrate this for a moment? Because so many of us, as women especially, when we had needs, we were told that it was too much, right? That... Yep. It was inconvenient. It was better to just kind of be quiet and like go with the program and like you don't have needs.
Push through.
Like, right. Just shove it down and keep going.
Yep.
Right. Can we celebrate this? Like we are really changing things and taking time for ourselves and recognizing that burning out is not the way to go.
Listen, you're right. Like should we do a dopamine hit? What's your
hit me with it?
Like stand in the sun for 1 minute or put on a song or something. Drink a sparkling water is one of mine. No, but really, we should. I mean, I think I've always been really hyper aware that like I'm a worse mom when I'm run to the ground.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't feel that difficult for such a simple concept, right? Like with anything else, with working out, you're not working out 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, because you know you're going to get injured. And so you want to prevent injury. You want to prevent true burnout where you just can't even ever show up again because you're injured, right? This is the one area where I'm hyper aware that the reason I'm yelling is not because I'm a monster or I'm a piece of shit. The reason I'm yelling is I'm burnt out and I went too far. And I don't like to wait until that moment. I want to try to catch it before it happens by doing simple things like this, you know, like all weekends, basically, more or less, aside from last weekend, we're doing this and it's to prevent a burnout. It's not like when it's too late and then we're like, oh no, because it's not going to work then.
I had this really powerful moment this past weekend where my kids are still so little that when I'm going out the door for my time, they pretty much melt down and cry. And they're like begging for mommy to stay.
Little baby does too.
Yeah, they're begging. And so they're crying. Mm. Mommy, please don't go. I'm going to come with you. And my husband, to kind of breeze through it, was like, hey, mommy has to go work, because they're used to that.
Oh.
And I stopped him and I was like,
good for you.
Actually, you know what? I'm not going to work. I'm going to go take a break. I'm going to go do something that mommy likes, because I know that if I take some time for myself, which is important for moms to do, I will be a fun, patient, happy mama who's ready to play with you all afternoon. Mamas have to take care of themselves.
Oh my God, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, it was so really powerful, because that's what I want him to bring into his family.
100% our children are watching us be adults. They're watching us be moms. They're watching us be dads. So whether it's my girls watching me or my boy watching me, I want to paint the picture of what a mom does and what a mom does not do is run herself into the ground day in and day out and just kind of grudge through it. I want to show up. I want to be present. I want to be happy. I want them, when they're older, to take a break. Yes. I want them to take a break.
Yes.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Now, Kristen.
Hey. That was weird. That was weird, bestie. Sorry about that.
You can be weird. Okay. This question is from Jordan. Hi, Jordan.
Oh, hey. Oh, yours was weird that time.
I like being weird. It's 2024. That's the goal.
Be weird.
Question. How do you get your toddlers to share? This feels impossible. I've started basically setting timers for toys, and if I'm not there to manage it and make them pass things back and forth, my kids get in endless fights over items. Okay, before we dive deep into this, it's important to say, as a child therapist, when can your toddler's brain even start to grasp the concept of sharing? Because so many of us have unrealistic expectations of this. I hate to say it. It's around three and a half. Ooh. That is when your kid's brain can start to pick up that concept
just
of sharing.
Start.
And then it's going to take so much practice to really build the skill.
Hmm. I think a little bit of perspective on sharing. Okay, with all toddler concepts, I like to zoom out a little bit. I feel like it's a good place to start having some perspective. You're at work. Okay. And your coworker comes up to you, you're holding your phone and you're at your desk and you're like typing away and they rip your phone out of your hand. Okay. And you're like, what the hell, dude? Like, I'm not done yet. What do you like? I need your phone right now. And you're like, I'm mid email. Like, this is really important. I have to hit this deadline. They're like taking it out of your hands. Your boss comes over and he's like, hey, Jordan needs the phone. Give the phone, give it over. And you're like, no, this is really important. You're like getting escalated. I have to send this. You know what I mean? They're like, hand it over. Be nice, right?
Yeah.
It's the same concept. And what are we going towards anyways? We're trying to have kind kids. We're trying to have a kid or a person who is using their phone for an important email and goes, hey, yeah, you need my phone? No problem. Give me 1 second. Let me finish this email. And here's my phone. You need that? No problem.
Bringing it back to the toddlers. So how do you actually build sharing skills? Because you are so spot on, Kristen. For sharing, it doesn't work. It doesn't actually build a sharing skill at all. It teaches your kids to just hand their stuff over and not advocate for themselves. So what we want to teach them how to do is assert themselves, to say, can I play with that when you're done? And teach your kid how to say, I'm not done yet. Yes, when I'm done, you can play with it.
this is how we're going to teach real sharing. We don't want to come in as the referee who's like, hey, you've had 2 minutes. It's been long enough. Your brother wants to play with it. Hand it over. Okay, 1 minute. Now hand it to them back and forth. Because I guarantee what's going to happen is they're just going to be fighting when you're not there. They're not really learning how to share. We want to teach them that, yeah, waiting is hard sometimes, by the way. And that real sharing does involve a relationship. They have to learn how to navigate it. And we as parents have to expect that this is just going to be really hard. And we are going to supply the words and try to teach them how to assert themselves at the beginning. The more we do it, the more they start to pick it up. It's like a little seed inside that one day is going to sprout and grow.
This is probably one of the hardest things for me as a mom, by the way. Like, I have certain things where it's our advice. It's like the hardest thing. Everything in me wants to be like, give it to your sister. Stop fighting. Like, everything in me. And I do, by the way, a lot of the times. Okay. But when I get it right, the sports casting versus referee thing is mind blowing. When you can keep that in mind rather than getting super involved and setting timers and dictating the whole show. This is so simple. And why don't we do this more? Don't step in until there's physical violence.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it
straight up.
When there is physical violence, and we're saying toddler violence, but still, anything becomes physical, we're stepping in right away.
You got to keep everyone safe.
We are pulling people apart. I'm moving you over here. This is not safe. I'm putting the truck up here, whatever it may be. You step in right away. Outside of that, allow them to have the moments to try. Okay. Everything that they're doing is stepping towards learning, and we're not giving them the opportunity to grow and learn when we're just micromanaging everything. Yeah. So narrate, that's still cool, because that's where you can kind of like put the language in their heads of like, wow, Johnny seems a little bit sad that you have the toy, but you really want the toy too, huh? And you're just narrating while they're figuring it out. Give them a shot.
Dude, I watched it happen in real time in my house the other day, and it was mind blowing. Because you would think a 3 and a 2-year-old, like, they're not going to be able to figure it out.
Yeah.
And I gave them this space, right? Yeah. Everything in me wants to jump in and be like, well, let me help you. Like, what if you give it to him when you're done? And, you know, and I was like, well, looks like you guys both want the same toy. Like, what could you do here?
Yeah.
And they figured it out.
Word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not all the time.
Yeah.
But that time, yes. And I was like, oh, okay.
That's where, you know, I think there's so much misconception of our generation's parenting, where we're just like appeasing and jumping in and we're helicoptering. We're giving you permission to do nothing. It's that principle of like, they can figure it out. Kind of, you know, when anybody gets violent or anybody is starting to get hurt, absolutely step in.
Yep.
But God, let them try to figure it out. Give them the language. Talk to them about it later. Read books on sharing, and then give them the opportunity, because it may not happen minute one, minute two, minute three. Feels like agony. And then minute five, oh my God, they just figured it out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Speaking of figuring things out, Gypsy Rose, I need to go figure this all the way out. I'm going to leave and I'm going to go do a deep dive.
Are you going to watch the movie right now?
I'm going to give it my best shot. Wait, so it's scary.
I mean, she murders her mom.
No, that's, it's psychological scary.
Yeah.
I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to go do it. I'm going to go do it.
I can't believe you've been thinking of that the whole time.
Just in the background.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense. Yeah. I support that. Go do a deep dive. Yeah.
Was it True Detective? There's also a show. I think it was True Detective. It has the same kind of baseline thing to it. Yeah. And that scared the crap out of me. I couldn't sleep. So it'll probably happen again.
This is like peak true crime. You know, like I'm not a big true crime person, but this is like, you cannot not be enthralled by this. I'm just going to say it.
Well, let's go do it. Whatever.
Okay. I'll do it with you. Okay. Let's just, you know, tomorrow's fine.
All right, bestie, it's time to get in bed. You know what? You did great today. This was a long day. It was a great day.
You might be listening to this at 7 a.m. It's still been a long day. You've still been doing great. And we mean that.
5:30 a.m. crew, what up?
You've been doing great. We love that you are here. We are so proud of you. And we'll see you next week, besties. We can't wait.
Can't wait to see
you. I cannot wait. I want to do another episode right now, but I won't.
Okay, let's go sleep. Bye.
Okay, bye. If you are struggling with toddler or preschooler tantrums, pushback, discipline, picky eating, just all the confusing things, this podcast, we can only scratch the surface. If you need help, our course, Winning the Toddler Stage, is here to help. It is aptly nicknamed the Toddler Manual because it truly has every single thing you could possibly struggle with under the sun between the ages of 1 and 6 within one course. We're not going to do a bunch of workshops. You have to buy the sleep guide and the picky eating guide and the this guide and the that guide. No, everything you could possibly need for ages 1 through 6 is all in this one course. We were never meant to do this parenting thing alone. You deserve to have help. We are here for you. You can find that course at biglittlefeelings.com and be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Big Little Feelings. We give free tips every single day. They might change your life with one free tip.
Thank you so much for being here with us. This has been an Odyssey production, executive produced by Lauren LaGrasso, produced by Daniela Silva, edited by Bob Tabador, and theme music composed by Liz Full. Then studio lighting designed by Shane Sackett and designed by Jackie Shearman. Special thanks to Odyssey Executive Vice President and Head of Podcasts, Jenna Weiss-Berman. And thank you for being here with us. We can't wait till next week.